Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 191 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel is back with the second podcast of the week. This time round here to preview the Italian Grand Prix. And well, I think this weekend could be quite a big one for Formula One in the near future, couldn't it, JB? Not necessarily on track, of course. I think all eyes are on whether Lando Norris can try and once again cut down the gap to Max Verstappen at the top of the title. Of course, Ferrari have unveiled a very cool special livery that apparently is different to their normal one. But most importantly, Jamie, how are we doing?
I'm good, yeah. I'm looking forward to the weekend. The Italian Grand Prix is usually quite a good one, especially since they've got some good news, haven't they? Well, on the brink of being announced as we record this would be the young Italian Kimi Antonelli.
We're going in saying he has been announced, or that he hasn't. We're going to cover all bases in this. I'm just going to double check Twitter again to make sure
hasn't been announced right this second, but by the time the podcast goes out, he may well have been. And it's the worst kept secret in Formula One right now. He is going to go to Mercedes next to George Russell. And he's just turned 18 this week, so he can now legally drink at a UK pub, which is great for him.
Won't be able to smoke though, maybe.
No, it's true. But that's not a shame for him that he can't smoke, to be fair. I'm sure he's gutted.
I mean, he's Italian, Jamie. There's a fair chance does a packet a day.
Probably just scran cigarettes like the old Chelsea manager. That's a very strange reference to make.
Strange reference after a terrible stereotype, but we'll move past that.
And goodbye to our Italian viewers. Kimi Antonelli is looking likely to be going to Mercedes. Obviously, F2, he's
seventh.
Something like that, seventh. Does he? He probably has super license points. If not, he can just get in under the Max Verstappen rule.
They've already, because apparently it was Williams originally that wanted to try and get special dispensation to get him in.
Idea was to get him in for Monza to replace Sargent, wasn't it? But that's not happened.
Yeah, for some reason, which we still don't find. Well, we do know now why it's Colapinto. To be fair, in the region of $5 million have gone Williams' way.
Also, he still wasn't the first choice because they did try and get Antonelli and Lawson. And Mercedes would rather Antonelli do his prep in their own program. And Red Bull might need Lawson to replace a Red Bull driver in the next month. So they didn't want to. So it's Colapinto, the third choice, which is a great way to start. But I'm sure he's very grateful for his opportunity. I watched the Thursday roundup. He was the happiest driver I've ever seen at a Thursday press conference. Just because it's kind of all new to him and he's not bored of the media yet.
No, I was going to say, get ready to about, what, Cota, maybe, Mexico, and he'll be bored of them like every other driver is.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a good opportunity for him. Obviously, Monza is probably the easiest track to make your debut at, as we've seen with Nick De Vries. And
especially in a Williams. It is odd, isn't it, when you think that in 2 years in a row, a new driver has debuted for Williams at the Italian Grand Prix.
Wasn't it Nick De Vries 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago, was it? Oh, I'm so old, man. Well, still, if I had a nickel... Eh?
Wasn't there another driver who debuted at Monza and got points like De Vries did, or was that...
Was that
longer ago? Maybe I'm making that up.
Are you thinking 2009, when Giancarlo Fisichella went to Ferrari?
And Liazzi came in and would have got points if not for a failure. Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Well, that might be the nerdiest segue we've ever done for a random Grand Prix from 15 years ago. Deary me. Let's be fair. Like we said with Colapinto, it's not that... I don't think he's going to get a seat next year. Apparently, Bottas looks to be closing down that deal with Sauber to stay on. Apparently, he's had quite a few meetings with Mattia Binotto, which I guess will be... I mean, it's quite odd, isn't it, when you think about Bottas? Because, of course, Jonathan Wheatley's coming in as kind of the new team leader. Obviously, Mattia Bonotto's come in now in some role as well. Bottas is basically going to be working with every personnel that was the enemy not that long ago.
All the rivals when he was doing 1-2s with Hamilton every week back in the day. Which is quite amusing. But yeah, I think Hülkenberg will wipe the floor with Bottas, if I'm being honest, and everyone will realise how good he is.
I think it might be quite a close competition, and you're not ready for that conversation.
I think Hülkenberg
Bottas is still very good on his day, and I think once he...
Because
I think the thing is with Bottas as well, is that it's probably been... The pressure's been off with Zhou. You know, you're not getting points ever in that car still. You know, Zhou's not particularly great either. He's probably just sat back this year and, well, apparently just got his bottom out at every possible opportunity is what we've gathered.
That's been him since he left Mercedes, really, hasn't
pretty
it?
Pretty much, yeah. He just never has put trousers back on. But I think, yeah, once you kind of put him in a situation where he's actually got to fight against another competent teammate, I think we're going to see, not necessarily, you know, a Bottas on the same level as he, you know, potentially was on a Saturday against Lewis, but... I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we got to the end of next year and Bottas did get the better of Hülkenberg. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Get me to February, March, and I'll predict Hülkenberg well above
Bottas. Six places above him, yeah. I know you will. I know you will. Let's quickly just obviously get the clickbait in then, Jamie, for the clips. Kimi Antonelli announced Mercedes 2025. He's on a multi-year deal. Looks like apparently that's two seasons with an additional one, obviously, if things go well. I mean, sensibly, unless something crazy happens, I think he's going to be at Mercedes a bit more long-term than that.
Yeah,
good move. Or, obviously, on the alternative, why hasn't Kimi Antonelli been announced this weekend? Like, we thought it was a sure-done deal by Mercedes that Antonelli's going to be in that car next year. And for some reason, they just keep dragging out... kind of when it's going to happen. That's really odd, isn't it? I mean, for a young driver like that, Jamie, it's got to be knocking his confidence.
Yeah, you think, why haven't they just announced it yet? But no, it will be announced. It makes sense to be at Monza, because obviously it's Tifosi. Love an Italian driver.
And steal Ferrari Thunder.
I was going to say, we had an Italian driver, but we literally had one 2 years ago with Giovinazzi. Or 3 years ago now, wasn't it? 2021.
Yeah.
But before that, there was a bit of a drought. The last time we had a good Italian driver was probably 2009 with Fisichella, so yeah.
Good is a bit strong, Jamie. Good is a bit strong.
Maybe it was Farina back in 52.
Well, yeah. I mean, what was it? Did you hear that on last weekend when Brundle and Crofty were talking about, obviously, Australia now getting a few drivers back on the grid? I mean, they got the numbers wrong, because, of course, you could theoretically end up with three Australians and a Kiwi next year. Which they said was 25% of the grid, and unless I'm forgetting someone, that's only 20%. But they said it was five, which confused me. I was like, well, you got Oscar, Daniel, Liam, and Jack Doohan. Was I forgetting someone obvious? I was like,
no,
I don't think so.
That's it. Mark Webber is the closest it gets to the grid.
Fair enough, yeah, he's pretty much there every week still. But, yeah, and then it was Martin Brundle talking about, what was it, 1992, when there were 13 Italians on the grid. Except for there was 39 cars as well, obviously trying to pre-qualify and stuff. But it was like junior or terrible team just had Italians, because they had loads of money back then.
There was Minardi, and then there were about 10 other Minardis who didn't even make qualifying, wasn't
there? There were 10 Minardis that made Minardi look like Ferrari, is what happened.
Yeah.
Or maybe even Williams in 1992. I'm going to terribly segue that, though, Jamie, to this week's quiz.
Oh, no.
Now, you're going to get 2 minutes for this one, but this quiz comes with a pre-question. Now, it was a quiz that I believe has already gone up on the channel. So, for knowing wheel viewers, let's see, actually, whether people answered this quiz correctly. I don't get an answer on that. Okay, 321 of you have answered the quiz so far. So I'm going to ask Jamie. Monza has the most Grand Prix hosted in terms of a single venue.
Yeah.
Has it hosted every single Italian Grand Prix?
I think it has.
Incorrect. That's a good start.
Ah, well, it missed only one or two.
It missed one. The 1980 Italian Grand Prix was held at Imola. And that was kind of what brought Imola back onto the calendar for quite a while then, until 2006.
Yeah.
So, in a twist of events, Jamie, I'm going to give you 2 minutes today. I want you to name to me every driver that qualified for that Grand Prix.
For 1980?
For the 1980 Italian Grand Prix.
Word.
Three, two, one, go.
Oh, my word. Alan Jones.
Yes.
Was the world champion. Niki Lauda.
No, he'd already retired once by then.
He was
then.
On a sabbatical. Prost.
Yes.
Reutemann.
Yes.
Fittipaldi.
Yes.
Alboreto.
Michele Alboreto, I don't believe is on my list. No.
John Watson, was he older than that?
John Watson, yes.
Scheckter.
Jody Scheckter, correct.
Pironi, Rosberg.
Didier Pironi, Rosberg, yes, correct.
Just thinking of like iconic races. Villeneuve, Arnoux.
Villeneuve, correct. Rennie Arnoux, correct. You got a minute.
Jean-Pierre Jabouille.
Doing well. Yes, correct.
Oh, look at that. Here we go. I'm just thinking of races that are iconic from that era, like Dijon 79 and Monaco 82 was good, wasn't it? Patrick Tambay?
No.
Derek Warwick?
No.
Was he more 90s? Martin Brundle? He wasn't around like that.
No,
was
he was a bit too early for Brundle.
Senna? No, he came in.
No, too early.
Fittipaldi, I've said. Emerson, yep. No, that's the same guy.
That's the same person. You can't just keep saying Fittipaldi. 25 seconds.
Who else was a world champion back then? Who? There were that 1982 season had about 16 different championship leaders, and they were all probably all around in 1980.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Your time is up, Jamie.
No, he was before.
No! That was like 20 years prior. So, how many did you get? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I think that was
all right.
There'll be some obvious ones, actually. Well, there are some ones I
You got 11 out of 24. So, honestly,
yeah, but I won't have heard of about 10 of these.
You will have heard of some of them. We'll start with some of the less obvious ones. Vittorio Brambilla, Italian.
I've heard of him. Wouldn't have got him.
Bruno Giacomelli, should have heard of as well.
Maybe, yeah.
Hector Rabach?
No idea.
Have you not heard of Hector Rabach?
No, tell me one fact about him.
I'm pretty certain he was the last owner driver in Formula One.
Well, I don't know why I would know that.
That, but you've got to admit, though, that's a good, interesting fact. If it's
that's
true,
a good
that
fact,
is.
If it's true.
Let me just double check. I want to just make sure.
Oh, he's Mexican.
Yeah. Let's have a look.
He did own his F1 team.
Yeah, there you go. I'm pretty certain he was the last owner of his own F1 team. Yeah, Team Rabach. Until the end of 79.
Wow.
There's a fun fact for you. You said Derek Warwick. You forgot Derek Daly. And Derek Warwick wasn't on my list.
I don't know if I've got Derek Daly.
Interestingly, Nigel Mansell failed to qualify for this Grand Prix.
Oh.
Little fun fact for you.
Yeah, Mansell.
Ricardo Patrese?
Oh, I've just got the list up. This is bad.
Mario Andretti?
Did I not say Patrese?
Nope.
I did.
Nope.
Well, I should have said that.
Mark Schurer? Never heard of them, to be honest. Swiss. You obviously got Pierre Jabouille. You forgot Jean-Pierre Jarier.
Oh,
two very
similar
names.
Yeah.
Eddie Cheever? Definitely one you would have
might
heard
have,
of.
Might have got him, yeah.
One that I never heard of.
I got.
Rupert Keegan.
Yeah, never heard of
British
him.
British driver, never heard of him. Jacques Lafitte, Elio De Angelis, and probably the worst one you forgot, Jamie, Nelson Piquet.
Yeah, I should have got Nelson Piquet, to be fair. But I think that was all right.
You did better than I think, honestly, I can say you probably did better than I would have done. I think is a fair Good. Assumption to make.
Oh, there. Manfred Winkelhock.
Yeah.
Is that Marcus
Winkelhock's dad?
Wow. You'll
got
never
killed
forget.
Not long after.
No one can break the Winkle Rock.
Yep. You know, he got killed in a sports car crash not long after, I think.
Wow, that's a shame.
He was 1985 German Grand Prix. Oh, he died. So he won the 1,000 kilometers of Monza with Mark Schurer. And he was killed at the Budweiser. I know this is a complete random tangent, but I miss distance endurance racing, ladies and gents. I know most of you won't care because it's about Formula One, but I miss like 1,000 kilometer races and stuff like that.
Well,
it's all time-based
still happens,
now.
Isn't it?
What?
Does the Mille Miglia, the 1,000 miles across Italy thing, not happen still?
Jamie, I don't think that's happened in a long time. Jamie! Do you want to know the last time the Melee Amelia ran? 1957.
Okay, well, I'll take it out on that one.
I'm so sorry, Jamie. You're only, what, 67 years late to the party?
Yeah, that's not great. That's not great.
That's genuinely incredible. I can't get over that. They still run it. He hasn't run it over 60 years.
No, there's one that runs that ran in 2024.
Where are you thinking of?
Scroll down on Wikipedia.
The Milamedia Storica. Yeah. That's not really a race, though. It's just drive. Yeah, but the guy that won it last year did it in a Alfa Romeo 6C from the 1920s.
Oh, it's basically a parade.
Yeah.
Well, it's impressive to get a 1920s Alfa Romeo to drive 1,000 miles, to be fair.
Well, hang on a minute. He's won it like 5 times in a row in that same car.
Yeah, enter. Right, let's get back on topic.
That might be the most reliable car I've ever seen. Incredible. Incredible. Right, where were we? Kimi Antonelli. Announced, maybe not announced. We don't know yet, chat. But we're guessing he is. What else we got to talk about, Jamie? Formula One wants to go to the Czech Republic or Czechia or whatever I'm meant to call it now.
Yes,
which again
it does.
Brno. It's a good track.
Is it?
It's
I know nothing about it. You can take it the lead on.
So it's in the Czech Republic. It's hosted MotoGP events for a very long time, but then fell off the calendar in 2021. But they've recently, and I think literally this week, it's been announced to be coming back to MotoGP next year. And apparently Formula One have entered conversations with them as well about hosting a Grand Prix in the future. Now, it's not the longest track in the world, and I don't think it would create the best racing, to be honest. But it is quite wide, which I think actually in the ground effect cars, it might be okay.
It does look a bit like a testing track. It looks like
it would probably be
like
fantastic
Mugello,
for testing.
Which is a bike track, or
Is definitely more bikey than car-y. But there is quite a lot of elevation change to it as well. So hopefully that would be good. We'll Formula One, they want to host a sprint race every weekend. And I cannot tell you how bad an idea that is. I honestly still have the mindset of sack them off completely. But I sure
it's been a while since we had one, but once we have two in a row in back-to-back weekends, isn't it?
No, we haven't got that this year, luckily.
Oh, we haven't.
Got that again this year, because obviously we had it in Shanghai and Miami. We've got, obviously, the last 6 weekends of the year are sprint, not sprint, over and over and over, which is a bit annoying.
Yeah, I think once all the teams have to go through that pain, they'll realise that we shouldn't do more than 6, which I think is a good call.
I think 6 as, like, a limit is still too many in my mind. I wouldn't even mind if they were a bit more spread out. And I understand, obviously, you want to host them at certain venues as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for example, Silverstone is packed on a Friday. And I know, obviously, it's hosted a sprint weekend before and it wasn't incredible.
I was there.
You were first there? Weren't you? You watched the first ever sprint. I forget about that. Or was Austria before that?
No, that was the first ever one.
Was it?
Austria
when did they host
a
sprint?
That year.
Oh, yeah, it was Monza that year, wasn't it? Yeah. Monza
and
Brazil.
Yeah.
I always think it's Austria that's hosted the sprint every year, but it's obviously Brazil, isn't it?
Yeah, because Lewis Hamilton had the juju rocket engine.
He did. As if I've just heard a white man say juju. Deary me. But yeah, they want to host a sprint every weekend. I mean, Monaco would just be hilarious.
It would just be boring.
Oh, no, it'd be terrible. But imagine they announced
good
that.
Thing would give us another qualifying session at Monaco. That would be the benefit.
That would actually be quite interesting, to be fair. I'd rather than hosting a sprint weekend, just host 3 qualifying sessions at Monaco. No Grand Prix.
No Grand Prix, yeah.
Just do sprints. Just do qualifying season.
Or maybe
do
like a 2-lap Grand Prix, because the only thing that changes is the start anyway. So
I reckon what they do is a 5-lap race with a mandatory pit stop. So the undercut or the overcut is ridiculously OP.
It wouldn't be OP, though, because you're on fresh tyres at the start. So why would it matter?
Because you've got to pit at some point.
Maybe a 10-lap Grand Prix.
Okay. Or they just give us, like I've said before, ridiculously soft tyres that do only last like 6 laps.
Bring in Bernie's sprinklers.
Bring in Bernie. I don't want to see Bernie's sprinkler, I think. what else have we got, Jamie? French. To the shock of everyone, we've already played up to an Italian stereotype this week. The French are going on strike. Talk me through it, Jamie, and why it makes zero sense.
as we have documented before in this podcast, the factory Aviri, which is the engine manufacturer of Alpine, they don't want their engines anymore because they're rubbish. So the owners of Aviri, the factory in France, which I believe is probably the Renault body still, isn't it? It's not Alpine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's owned by Renault.
They are trying to repurpose this factory away from F1 because, obviously, the Alpine F1 team are looking for Mercedes power units, and therefore the Renault power unit will become basically obsolete because no one wants it, which has been on the cards for about 10 years since the turbo hybrid era started.
Well, no, Renault really haven't built a good engine in almost 20 years now. And since then, they haven't given up trying.
No, which is quite admirable, really. But
I think it's the longest the French have ever gone without surrendering.
Right. And goodbye to all our French viewers.
We lost them years ago. Oh, don't give me that.
So, yeah, because these workers in the very factory don't want to make engines for Renault Clios, they've all gone on strike. Which, you know, they're closing the factory to... Well, not even closing it. They're repurposing the factory to save money and technical ability.
And the staff want to keep working.
Yeah.
So what they're doing...
trying to keep working, so they're just going on strike.
So they're not working to keep working.
Doesn't really make sense.
Well, I guess, you know, if it caused me... Like, I understand it with train or bus drivers and things like that, because, of course, you create disruption. I don't think the world's going to stop spinning if it turns out the worst power unit in Formula One is not being produced.
It's not being made anymore, exactly. And, like, they already have the engine pool of engines with the team, wherever it is in the circus. So they don't actually need any new engines, probably, between now and the end of the season. And obviously, they'll only get, 2 weeks? If it's anything like the UK, you'll get 2 weeks of sick pay, and then you'll stop being paid. So I'm sure at that point they'll go back.
No, if you go on strike, you don't get any pay anyway. It's the whole point of a strike. You take the pay cut for the day. So if anything, Renault, who want to stop building the engine and obviously want to save money, have just let all of their personnel walk out, so they're not building the engine and they're not going to get paid, so Renault's saving money.
Yeah.
We love it. Yeah. We absolutely love it. But apparently there's going to be quite a lot of them at the Grand Prix this weekend and things like that.
Yeah,
wearing
black armbands, which is very odd because nobody's died.
Well, apart from their hopes and dreams of
I guess that because it takes away the value of wearing black armbands when someone does.
It does. I think still, and this is going to be really odd because Alpine use Mechachrome engines in World Endurance. I think Renault should be targeting trying to steal the junior power unit deal because Mechachrome are awful, and although Renault aren't fantastic, they'd be better than what we've currently got.
And
surely.
Stick a Mechachrome engine in an F1 car and it would be way worse than a Renault engine.
Oh, yeah.
Good, because it has to be, right? Because they're making engines for F2. But even if Mechachrome tried to make an F1 engine, I think it would be rubbish. So, yeah, that's a good shout. You should run Renault.
I might become CEO. But is their CEO still in hiding? That was incredible. But that happened just before COVID and it really annoyed me. What's his name? Do you ever hear about this, Jamie? Fantastic story.
The Renault engine CEO. I haven't heard that. You can tell this story.
I think it was Toyota CEO as well. Oh, is it Toyota? What was the guy? It was definitely Renault. Let me find this. You keep talking about Renault quickly.
Carlos Ghosn.
Yes, Carlos Ghosn. His name. Yes, yeah. incredible. So, I mean, he timed this to absolute perfection, and this is again, it's going to be a little bit of a weird rant. First of all. Could be Carlos Sainz's dad. Like, genuinely could convince me if you take a look at him. He could be he could be Carlos Sainz Sr.'s twin brother.
Oh,
he's actually mad.
Yeah.
So this happened, literally, he timed it perfectly because it happened just before COVID. He got arrested and basically put under... Because Japanese law is really, really strict. He basically got arrested and put under house arrest back at the end of 2018. So he was basically in his house for over a year. And then on the last day of 2019, I believe, just before New Year's, he decided to have a party because he's still allowed because obviously everyone was coming to his house. So he had a band at said party. And then he hid for what must have been hours in one of the band's instruments in the guitar case. And then fled Japan. then, of course, COVID happened like 3 weeks later, so it kind of got completely forgotten about.
And Japan went super strict on COVID, so they probably didn't want him back.
No, exactly. They weren't. They weren't going to have him back anytime soon.
Wow, that is an escape. That'll be a movie one day.
It should be already, I reckon. Incredible. Yeah, absolutely incredible.
That's a great story, but
completely irrelevant.
If you ever need to get out of
like
a sticky situation, then take a guitar case with you.
Yeah, you should have learnt guitar 15 years ago. Where were we? That was it. French were on strike. Burt Mylander. I think genuinely for the first time in 20 years has had a crash.
He has. The safety car lost its DNA and became an unsafety car because it crashed at Parabolica on a test on a lap with nobody else there, which is a bit of a shame because it's going to be another 20 years before he crashes again.
He's never crashed the safety car, to be fair.
It would have been hilarious if this happened in a race.
Would it?
I do not think it would have been really, really funny if the safety car just crashed.
I don't think watching Burt Mylander crash at any time is really, really funny, I'll be honest. But there we go.
Well, he was absolutely fine. It wasn't a bad crash.
Oh, yeah. He did a very good job. I mean, you can tell he's an experienced racing driver.
Yeah.
Because having the balls to deliberately spin your car out at over 100 miles an hour must have been brain trouser moment galore.
Yeah.
But the last time he... In fact, Jamie, you know the last time he crashed...
It wasn't it Brazil 2002 with Nick Heidfeld?
No, that was the medical car. He crashed actually when he was still racing alongside being the safety car driver.
He did a
DTM showcase race in Shanghai. You might have seen this clip years ago. And he hit a pothole cover and basically just his Mercedes DTM car literally just went straight up.
Oh, I would have seen that.
So he's literally had two crashes in the last 20 years and both of them have been utterly bizarre.
Yeah,
completely kind of out of the blue, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, but hopefully they fixed the brakes. It looked like a brake failure, wasn't it?
It was, but they reckon it was because of the really high track temperature as well, because Monza this weekend is warm. It is going to be high track temp, so cooling is going to be really, really difficult, finding that balance over the course of the weekend as well, because I believe it is meant to be sunny skies all weekend.
Mid-30s, yeah.
So track temp's over like 50 degrees or something wild, and that could, Jamie, affect our predictions, which I think is the last thing we've got to do.
I believe it is, and you're currently winning.
Yeah,
which is a shame. Although F3 is finishing, we haven't spoken about that.
Yeah, F3. Yeah, we've got a 6-way title fight now because Ollie Gerth has been promoted. Oh, we forgot to talk about him. The world's greatest driver has entered Formula 2, Jamie. We've spoken about this.
The Dutch guy. What, I can't remember his name at this point.
Niels Kuhlen.
Kuhlen. He is the son of somebody who owns something massive, isn't he?
He's the son of the ex-owner of Booking.com.
Yes, that was it.
So he's got lots of money.
He has basically never scored a point in anything, and anything he's ever
driven. He's never scored a point in Europe. He has scored points in the IndyCar Junior Series, but that's because everybody in IndyCar always scores points if you survive.
So what you've got to do is finish,
I don't even think you have to finish, Jamie. I think you just get points anyway. I could be wrong on that one, but I think you've literally just got to start and you get points.
Right.
he's never scored a point in Europe. He's near enough our age. I think, genuinely, if he keeps hold of that seat heading into Baku, he might not qualify, because I would argue he might genuinely be worse than Raghunathan.
He came 43rd in Italian F4 in 2022.
I mean, to be fair, Italian F4 is a bit like Formula 1 back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
there's just a lot of Italians coming in for a week.
Do you think if we rocked up to an F2 race, we would have any less chance of scoring points?
I mean, we're talking infinitesimally small for all of us. I feel like at Monza, genuinely, give me... Right, if a Formula 2 team owner is listening, which I'm doubtful because you should be preparing for the weekend... But I reckon you give me one day in an F2 car with the same setup as Niels Kuhlen runs this weekend, and I would say I can out-qualify him.
Are you kidding?
At Monza, it's all straight lines. What am I worried about?
You
give me a day.
You've got to be so strong to drive those things.
Yeah, but it's
not
Monza. You don't need to be that strong, is my point.
I want to see you turn the wheel through Ascari at 120 miles an hour.
Well, you're certainly not doing Ascari at 120 in an F2 car, so you've immediately got a problem.
Yeah.
I genuinely reckon I back myself with a day's worth of practice.
I would out-qualify you.
No, you wouldn't. But yeah, when have you... the last time you got qualified me was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, on a game. In real life, I'd smash you.
Why on earth do you think you'd smash me?
I've got the height for it.
Hey, that doesn't matter so much.
I've got a racing driver's build.
Have you? In what world have you got a racing driver's build? Just because you're 5'3".
And yeah, not much else.
You're just short, and you reckon that's enough to me. You can reach the pedals, man. I refuse to believe you would be good. Like, in a go-kart, yeah, you might have a chance, but I refuse to believe in a real car you would be any
I want to do us two and Niels Coolen in go-karts.
Okay, fair enough. Niels, if you're watching, ignore the bit where we just slagged you off for the last 2 minutes. Let's get a go-kart race organised, and we'll do it.
Exactly.
It'll be fantastic. Predictions, Jamie. What lead have I got over you now?
I think you're 6 in the lead, which is actually quite considerable.
That's quite a lot of points.
Yeah, you are 6 points clear. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Pole position. Max Verstappen.
Okay.
P1, Max Verstappen. P2.
Oh, interesting.
Charles Leclerc.
Oh.
And P3. Carlos Sainz.
Interesting. I think
Ferrari are back. They built a car that can only do Monaco.
Ferrari are back. So, but you've put Max to dominate.
Well, yeah, they're back as good as they can be. I actually wanted to put Leclerc winning, but I wasn't that
brave. So you're saying Lando Norris is not going to get a podium?
Yeah, McLaren are trash now. They're only good at high downforce.
They weren't that great last year, were they?
They weren't great at Belgium. They weren't.
No, they weren't great at Belgium either. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. That's a good. I was trying to, because this is what I was thinking about. I was like, what's weird this year is we haven't had like the uber high speed circuits, I guess, apart from Australia and Jeddah. But of course, and that Baku's was when Red Bull were dominant, and Baku obviously is after this. That's a very good point. I'm going to go differently to you.
You could be a rat and just pick the same for the rest of the season. But
I could do that, but that would be no fun, and I'd rather continue extending my lead. Why would I stoop to your level of poor predictions? I'm going to go Charles Leclerc, pole.
Oh, I wanted to do that. If that's right, I'm really annoyed. I wanted to put a Leclerc domination.
Do I put Leclerc domination? I'm going to say Charles Leclerc win.
Great.
I'm going to say Lando Norris P2. And I'm going to say... Carlos Sainz P3. I'm going to lose. Well, I've got a bit of a buffer, so I can afford to take my stupid gambles, but that's what I'm going to go
with.
So
no Max on the podium.
No Max on the podium. I was thinking about this as well. I was trying to do commentary on a video a couple of days ago. Was the last race Max won? Canada. Spain, of course. I'd forgot about Spain existed.
Is it 5, 6 races in a row?
Six races now. Hamilton's
1-2, Norris 1-2.
George 1-1.
Russell's 1-1, Piastri 1-1. 6 races ago, yeah.
Wild. Absolutely wild.
Probably his longest drought since 2020, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I would have thought maybe 2019, 2020. Yeah, wild. Absolutely wild. Anything else to add, Jamie? I think we've done pretty well.
I want to put an extra prediction in.
Oh, Holt's
finishing P7 this week.
Okay. As a spoiler for you. Out of the big teams? Obviously Aston Martin.
Someone will have a mess up.
Fair enough.
Probably Perez.
Okay. I like it. Thank you all so much for listening as always. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like, get yourself subscribed, and Jamie and I will return then with our Italian Grand Prix preview, hopefully next Monday. The video will go live Tuesday. But again, I can't believe Antonelli hasn't been announced, or has been announced. It's great or bad news, maybe, definitely.